This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, April 5th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. There's a labor shortage in the skills trade sector. Think plumbers, welders, and construction workers. And filling that gap are Americans ages 18 to 27, also known as Gen Z.
We have seen rising wages in a number of the skilled trades. We're also seeing rising disenchantment with the four-year college path, both with the expense associated with getting a degree like that, and also with some doubts about prospects for graduates.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal reporter Ta-Ping Chen after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
More Gen Z workers are taking skilled trade jobs instead of going to college. Wall Street Journal reporter Ta-Ping Chen joins me. Ta-Ping, when we say skilled trades, what types of jobs are we talking about?
We're talking about jobs that have a skill involved, often maybe requiring a license or some kind of certification. That can range from anything from an electrician to a plumber to a welder.
What's drawing Gen Z to these jobs?
There's a lot going on here. On the one hand, we have seen rising wages in a number of the skilled trades. We're also seeing rising disenchantment with the four-year college path, both with the expense associated with getting a degree like that, and also with some doubts about prospects for graduates. There was a study recently that found roughly half of college graduates actually end up in jobs where bachelor degrees aren't needed.
Why are Gen Z workers attractive to people hiring in this area?
Well, they're badly needed. There's long been a labor shortage and continues to be a shortage of workers in the skilled trades. And you think about a lot of what is happening in the country, a lot of infrastructure projects, not to mention the rising tide of retirements of boomers in these industries. And so there's definitely a lot of appetite for Gen Z workers, too.
To some, trade jobs have a stigma of dirty or low-end work. How is the profession trying to shake that image?
Some of it is a shift that is just coming with time and technology. When I spoke with high school counselors across the country, a number of them said that historically, students have thought of these professions as maybe being for students who weren't that great at academics or were getting into trouble. But more recently, a lot of these technologies have come on board that have changed the image of the trades. There have been, in classrooms across the country, more vocational tech programs incorporating things like robotic arms or new kinds of machines that actually allow students to create their own tools, custom design different programs to make their own kinds of tools. You know, I spoke to one worker who was struck to find that in a construction job, she ended up quite quickly being trained to use a robot that assists with site layout. And so there's really a gamut of technologies. But just the fact that they are starting to transform a lot more of the kind of day-to-day work of some of these professions has made an appreciable difference in how some of these trades are perceived.
How does someone get started who wants to find a trades job?
There are a lot of different paths. You can go the traditional route of going to trade school. There's community colleges. There's private programs that are available. There are also a lot of companies and employers that, given the shortage of workers, are really happy to take folk who don't have experience and train you up. And that can mean a lot of different things. It can mean mentorship on the job. It can mean also often maybe sponsoring you to go through school. And there's also growing numbers of apprenticeship programs in which you are learning on the job. You're also getting your degree. and getting paid at the same time.
How does the pay in skilled trade jobs compare to more professional white-collar jobs?
There's going to be a spectrum, but one figure that we mentioned in the piece, which is pretty striking, is if you look at the median pay for new hires in the construction industry, it actually now surpasses that of new hires in professional services, the former earning around $48,000 last year and the latter earning around $39,000. So that's a big differential. If you look over the longer arc, folk who have been in these industries, the median pay for folk in professional services or in information still outstrips that of construction. But you look at that new hire data and it is telling. And also just something that is important to note about the trades, which was reinforced by a lot of conversations with folk on the ground, is just this is a career that you can go into and make six figures pretty quickly after graduating from a trade school or your apprenticeship or what have you. And that's something that you can do without acquiring also a lot of college debt along the way.
Do people in these jobs feel a better sense of job security than workers, say, in white-collar jobs?
There's survey data that certainly suggests that is the fact. And when you talk to people who are contemplating careers also in the skilled trades, that's something that does come up with Gen AI and other forms of AI really transforming a lot of how people are thinking about work and the future of work. There's a sense that, look, the skilled trades are on the ground. They're not going to be shaken up by AI in the same way or replaced by AI in the same way. They're not vulnerable to outsourcing in the same way. And as one executive director of a Pennsylvania HVAC Plumbing Association group that I spoke with said as well, something that folk have increasingly realized, especially post-COVID, is that even if other businesses shut down or the economy is tanking, people are still going to need plumbers. They're still going to need electricians. There is a real sense of job security with these sorts of roles, completely independent of other more recent factors like AI too.
What could be the overall impact on the labor market if more people pursue trade jobs?
It's still early to say. And there's also the question of to what extent will folks stick to the profession too? We have data that certainly shows an increase in enrollment in vocational schools. And we also see a big jump in demand for apprenticeships. And there are metrics like that. When you speak to employers, likewise, you know, seeing a jump in the number of applicants. But when you talk to employers, they also cite the fact that a younger generation of workers is not necessarily accustomed to the work in the same way or doesn't necessarily have the same expectations, has also a higher rate of flame out, burnout, whatever you want to call it. From the perspective of the industry, it's encouraging to see some of these trends, but it's also a pretty open question about what this is going to look like 5-10 years down the line. Given all these factors that we talked about, these sorts of roles really do seem a lot more attractive than maybe they might have a decade or two ago when there was much more sense of tech is the future, college for all, this is the only way that you can get ahead. There's a lot of young students and workers now who have the sense that the future's actually been blown up and things don't look the way that we were told they were going to in the past. And here's a path that feels both more stable and also more lucrative.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Taping Chen. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back Monday morning with WSJ's Veronica Dagger to discuss the new rules of home buying, including a financial checklist to save money on a mortgage and home insurance. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.